I believe in encouraging women into the ministry. Praise the Lord. And that's just not on the pulpit. You're going to find some of the women and the girls here standing on the streets and preaching, going into clubs and prophesying. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Doing something for God in a very significant way. If you believe that, put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When there is a man's job to do, entrust it to a woman. She will do it much more better than a man. Come on, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, girls. None of you are smiling. You believe that? I got this side angry and upset with me, but at least, come on, look at my face and say, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of the biggest, you know, Paul Youngcho, when he started his ministry, I think 28 of his pastors initially were women pastors. 28 of them. One of the largest and growing churches in India, in the city, I mean, in the state of Andhra Pradesh, pastored by a 23-year-old man, a young boy, 23-year-old, pastors one of the largest churches in India. He's got about 110 associate women leaders with him who will cast out the devil, lay hands upon the sick, pray and prophesy over the people, and the kingdom of God is growing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So guys, if you want God to use you, at least dress up like a woman and come to church. Come on. I'm just making fun. Come on, look at somebody and tell them God has got plans about us too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you thank the Lord for his church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ever since I started putting up women on the ministry, you know, sometimes people watch us on the net and then we get crazy phone calls. How could you allow women in a ministry? How could you allow them to preach? How could you allow them to minister? This is the way they should dress. This is what they should do. This is what they shouldn't do. Well, I am the pastor. If God has entrusted the church to me, I decide by the help of the Lord on who should minister, how, and I encourage women in this ministry. Somebody's got a problem, you settle it with the Lord because the Lord asked me to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's come back to let's get into the text today because I do not know where that is leading me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody sitting next to you, girls, and say, the Lord will use you. The Lord will use you. You are the bin band for a cause. Come on, look at two or three people and say, you are a bin band for a cause. Praise the Lord. Guys, how many of you will pray for them? How many of you will encourage the woman? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give a shout to Jesus. Guys, come on. Hallelujah. We encourage women ministering in this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to a scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Tonight I want to title the message, How to Love the Mud. How to love the mud. Look at somebody and say, how to love the mud. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. How to love the mud. You know, the other day I was very upset when I was in the house and I saw all mud everywhere. And I got really upset inside the house. And then I was pretty warmed up and I said, Lord, I like things clean and things neat. How come there is mud in the house? And the Lord said, son, that is what you asked for. I said, I don't understand it. The Lord told me, son, you asked me for a property to stay in, which had a lot of mud, lot of greenery, lot of, you know, trees. So I gave you a place like that. You asked for a dog. And so I gave you a dog. And the dog is brought in the mud into the house. You asked for it and you got it. And suddenly I had to sit with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for misinterpreting the things that you do in my life. Things that look pretty messy, Lord, I thank you. Some of them I asked for it. Some of them have brought me a lot of joy. And I don't want to be miserable and cranky and complain and grumble because of the good things that you've done in my life, and I'm not able to exactly recognize how you've brought it about. Isn't it amazing that sometimes, you know, a simple thing like mud in your house, or mud in your shoes, or mud in your car, I do not know about you, but sometimes, you know, the moment I saw mud, a lot of thoughts began to come into my head. And I thought, oh my God, if I cannot take care of a small house well, how will I take care of God's church? If I cannot keep my house clean, how will I keep my life clean? I mean, if I cannot, you know, do something in a proper way, how can I ever serve God in the best way that, you know, God wants me to? And all these thoughts were hitting me. And suddenly the Holy Spirit almost said to me, son, listen, don't misinterpret the facts. You asked for it. Are you with me? Anybody ever gone through that? Something goes wrong in your life and suddenly you are thinking the worst about your life, and you already passed judgments over your life, and you think nothing will ever change, everything is bad. But sometimes it is a problem of us not seeing the things the way we should actually see it. So tonight's message is how to love the mud. Three things, simple, very simple, three things in honor of mud. Come on, smile. Praise the Lord. The first thing is the meaning of the mud. What it means in our lives. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 4. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 4. Somebody reading it for me? See the angel's voice. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Let me hear. Amen. Look at that. Where there is no oxen, the crib is clean. But with increase is by the strength of the ox. If there is, you want things clean? Sometimes people want a clean ministry. But if there is no mess, there is no ministry. Are you with me? If there are no oxen in the stall, everything is clean. No problem. You cannot just look for the strength of the oxen without looking at the stuff that the oxen will bring into your life. Some of the most meaningful moments in your life, if you will ever allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to you, are in the mess of your life. You ask God for marriage and now you're crying and feeling miserable that the person is not loving you the way he should or she should. You want a perfect marriage, no problem, every day you're being a honeymoon, but you ask for it and there is a mess that comes with it. But embrace it, love it, Because there is a meaning in that mess. You ask God for a child, the child God gives you. Now you have sleepless nights trying to take care of the child. The child is cranky. The child is very much like you. Making a noise for everything. And you're upset. And you think, oh my God, my life is finished. Everything is going wrong. But you ask for it. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it is important in life that you learn to just embrace the mess in your life and realize there is meaning in this. You don't have to beat yourself up and think you are a bad parent. You don't have to beat yourself up and say, oh my God, everything is going wrong. Nothing is going right. My whole family is falling apart. You don't have to do that. But embrace the mess and you will find the meaning in that mess, and God will bring about His work through that mess for your life. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have no job, no problem. But now you have to get up in the morning, go to job, go to work. You have a boss who is always looking at you in a judgmental way. Where there is oxen, where there is work, where there is ministry, there is always dung. Are you with me? There is always stuff. But amidst that, God is doing His work. Embrace what God is doing and thank God for that, and bless His name for all that He's doing in your life. Don't misinterpret the stuff that is happening in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes you go to a home, and sometimes people say, you know, I want my house to be totally clean, you know, the grass to be, the lawn not to be messed up, the house to be clean, my furniture, my cutlery, my, you know, crystalware, everything is there. Everything is right on spot, clean and neat. And you hate people coming into your life. You hate people sitting on that nice cushion. You hate the fact that somebody, you know, it just broke a small flower vase in your house. You get upset with your kids because they have, you know, dirtied up the place. But let me tell you, you look further down your life, and when you are old, and when you are alone, and when you are sitting there in your room, you might have the crystals, you might have everything perfect around you, but you will long for those people who came in there and messed up your life, because you would say, Lord, please send somebody. I am alone. I just need somebody, Lord, in my life. I don't mind if they have to break the glass. Just send somebody. Are you with me? Just send somebody. So never misinterpret the messes in your life. See the hand of the Lord in that mess. Embrace it, appreciate it, and say, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are still the Lord over this. Are you with me? Huh? God, you look for a business. God gives you a business. Now you have to get up and go. You have to work hard. You have to travel, and you get so miserable. And I get really miserable when I hear sometimes, you know, people say, I'm on a holiday. We were just partying. You know, sometimes pastors, leaders, sometimes they tell me, you know, we were on a holiday, we're just partying, we're just doing that, doing this. And I thought, oh my God, how cool, 365 days, a holiday. When I have to sit and pray, I have to fast. Everybody's going for a party. Everybody's watching cricket on TV. Everybody's gone out for dinner. Your cousins are all getting up together for fun. And you're reading the Bible, preparing a message. You're trying to, you know, prepare a message to preach to people who won't even clap to a message or even smile when you smile at them. And I used to get miserable. The Lord said, son, this is what you asked for. You're serving me. You're serving me. Don't misinterpret your mess. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. The dirt in your life,
It's inconvenient. You have to sacrifice a little thing here and there. But you have eternal rewards. You have deep fulfillment inside. And there is a reward when you get onto the other side. The retirement benefits are tremendous when you serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. On the other side, God's blessings are tremendous. So I did not know about you, but I wonder what you are misinterpreting the mess in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Now sometimes, you know, they pray for a child, God gives them a baby, and suddenly they're putting on weight, their legs are aching, everything. And have you seen women when they're carrying, they lose their perspective? It's a blessing in the womb, but they feel it. Oh my God, I'm putting on weight. Nobody will like me. My God, will I ever come back to normal? My legs are paining. I have sleepless nights. I don't know what's happening. But aren't you misinterpreting a blessing in your life? Anybody with me today? Huh? Psalm 103 verses 13 and 14. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord knows our frame, so don't beat yourself up. Are you with me? Don't punish yourself. Don't be too negative and critical of yourself. The Lord knows we are dust. Once the Lutheran, nothing against Lutherans, a Lutheran pastor was praying and he was saying, "Oh Almighty God, oh most wonderful Savior, oh perfect God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, from everlasting to everlasting, your kindness is great. You are an awesome God. And oh God, are but dust. We, oh God, are but dust. We, oh God, are but dust." And a small child sitting in the front asked his mother, "What does it mean? But dust, but dust, but dust." That's supposed to be a joke. Come on, guys. What does it mean? What does it? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you forget that you are dust. Your butt. Look at somebody and say, "Your butt does." Come on. Say to the net, "Your butt does. Butt does." Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not a superman, superhuman. I am but dust. Are you with me? That brings to the second point. And I wanted to say it out. There is mercy in the mud. Open your mouth and say that there is mercy in the mud. Say it again. Mercy in the mud. Mercy in the mud. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." I wonder where the man was. They caught the woman in the very act. Can you imagine that? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they minister tempting him that they might have a chance to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground or in the dust as though he heard them not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus, are you with me? But Jesus, when he saw this woman being accused, he wrote in the dust. I wonder what he wrote. Any idea what he wrote on the dust? No idea. What he wrote? He said, the woman is going to be stoned. She is lying there. People are standing around to stone. And Jesus just wrote in the dust. I preached it before. I personally feel what he would have wrote is this. George, 1996. In Mangalore. You remember what happened? And George is looking and George realizes. Sarah, you remember what you did when you lied to your father and checked and texted a boy in the class and he sent you some wrong pictures? You remember that? The Bible says, right from the eldest. Can you imagine that? Right from the senior guy. Pharisees, religious leaders. Right from the senior guy, they began to throw their stone down and slowly walked away. Tell us no more, Lord. Write no more. We get the message. The Bible says, right from the eldest to everyone, the youngest, everyone left. Because everyone's that they could have done wrong is written there. And this woman is lying at the feet of Jesus. And the woman is looking to find out what the Lord will write. The Lord writes and said, yeah, woman, without them telling me, this is what you have done. This is not your first time. This is not your second time. This is not your third time. You have done it many a time. You have done wrong. But woman, look at me. Because you are at my feet, I just want you to know what I have written. I am wiping it all away. Nothing is held against you. I just want you to know that I am writing in this mud everything that you did, and I am canceling them out because I came for you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? There is mercy in the mud. Everything in your life that you have done, in secret, in public, everything that the enemy is accusing you of, whatever they have been calling you, whatever name, loose woman, good for nothing, prostitute, sleeping around, all that, whatever people have accused you, everything negative about you, I just want you to know that I don't condemn you. Accusing voice is not mine. I did not come here to condemn, but I came to save. So I'm wiping your slate clean. There is mercy in the mud. Lift your hand and say, there is mercy in the mud. 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 The enemy will try to remind you of all the things that you have done wrong and how worthless you are and how dirty you are and how terrible you are and how, you know, your life is going nowhere and you have no future and you're a bad person. The enemy will try to remind you, but remember what Jesus would tell you. He would say, there is mercy in the mud. He does not hold it against you. He forgives you. He did not come to condemn you, but he came to save you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you have not sinned because you have not had an opportunity to sin. Some of you have not sinned because you were not capable of sinning. You can't drink another drink because you can't. Your liver is that bad. You can't do something wrong because you don't have an opportunity. But God is saying, I am not holding it against you. Even the thoughts of your mind which has been lustful and bad and wrong, I am writing it off. I am canceling it off. There is mercy. There is mercy. There is mercy in the mud when you come before Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time. There is mercy in the mud.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, your slate is wiped clean. Amen. Don't let the devil remind you of your past. Your slate is wiped clean because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout it out. Because of the blood of Jesus, your slate is wiped clean. Amen. You believe that? You believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning we spoke on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Your slate is wiped clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at that scripture. Jesus actually stooped down, the Bible says. Can you imagine that? God stooping down to raise you up. Jesus stooped down to raise this woman up. She's isolated, cast away, ashamed, isolated, just alone, judged and condemned. But my Jesus will always stoop down to raise you up. That is why I said the women in this church have a ministry. God is going to raise you up. There is a prophetic word. God is going to raise you up. It doesn't matter what your past is, how much baggage you carry. God is going to stoop down and raise you up to glorify his name and to do great exploits for his name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The third point, and I close with that. The ninth chapter of John. And it says, there is miracle in the mud. Amen. There is miracle. You believe in miracles? Open your mouth and say, there is miracle in the mud. Shout it out one more time. There is miracle in the mud. There is a miracle in the mud. John chapter 9. You find there was a man who was blind. And somebody came to Jesus and said, Lord, is it his parents since that have made him to be like this? Sometimes you try to figure out the reason for your mess. Is it generational curse? Is it inner healing area? Is it a soulish tie? Is it a demonic spell? Is it a sins of my forefathers? What is it? And I look for, not for figuring out. Are you with me? I look to see the hand of the Lord fixing up things. If you have cancer, how the cancer came, what all it will do. I don't want to do a thesis on that. I don't want to do a study on that. But if somebody can come and tell me, listen, your cancer will be no more from tomorrow. I'm going to heal you. That's good enough for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whose sin is it?
Jesus said, it's not anybody's sin. This is for my glory to be revealed in this boy. Are you with me? Some of the situations that you go through are for the glory of God to be revealed in your situation. And this man had no eyesight, but he could hear. He must have heard about how Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. Where the Lord didn't do anything but just say, be healed. And the man was healed. So he must have been expecting something like that. So he comes to Jesus. Lord, okay, you want to show your glory? Do something here. Okay. This is where the problem is. And he can only hear. So he's standing there, trusting that maybe like Bartimaeus was healed, maybe the Lord would touch him and heal him or whatever. Then he hears this sound. You study the scripture. I didn't make it up. The Bible says Jesus actually spat on the ground. Can you imagine that? Who's using the mic next? Make sure you use your kerchief over this, okay? It's got a silver lining to it now. He's expecting the Lord to do something, but... The Lord actually spat on the ground and with his saliva, with the dirt, picked it up and placed it on his eyes. His worst fears are coming to pass. He hears the sound and then he gets that sticky feeling. I do not know whether you have gone through it. You expect a miracle from God. You're going through something in your life and you come expectantly before the Lord and then and you get this sticky feeling and it looks like things have actually become much worse than what it was before. And the Lord told him, go wash yourself in the pool called Siloam. Are you with me? Sometimes your mess, it looks like it's increased to a different level altogether, even when you have come to the Lord. But just obey Him and go where He has asked you to go. Do what He's asked you to do. And there is healing. There is miracle waiting for you around the corner. If you believe that, put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There is healing around the corner. There is a miracle in your mess. Are you with me? Look at somebody and see on the other side, there is a miracle. You failed your exams, you didn't get an admission somewhere, there is a miracle waiting for you on the other side. Something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. There is a miracle on the other side. I close with this thought. You look at the scripture in the Bible, in the Gospel of John chapter 20, of this woman called Mary Magdalene. She had about 7 demons inside of her. She was really messed up. The Bible says she had demons inside of her. She was messed up. Bible historians say that she was a beautician from the city of Magdala. A rich woman. But she was messed up. She had demons inside of her. And she served Jesus. She was a messed up lady, but God did a miracle upon her. Are you with me? The first person to whom Jesus revealed himself after he rose again from the dead was to Mary. You know why? Because Mary came to the tomb. And look at her voice in John 20. She says, Lord, where have you laid my Lord? I wish you would show me where you have laid him, because I would gladly carry him. See how much she loved Jesus. She said, Lord, I mean, where have you laid him? Just show me, because I would have just carried him. I would just carry his body and take him, because I love him that much. I would just carry him. When you have that kind of love, and when you say, Lord, my humanity is so clearly evident. My weakness is so clearly seen. I have had problems with demons, struggles in the flesh, battles in life. But Lord, I will carry you. I will take you wherever you want me to carry you. And you know how the Lord answered that prayer? Bible scholars believe she took the gospel to Rome. She carried Jesus. She went forth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when the Nero was ruling over Rome, she went with the gospel to Rome, and she died in France for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, hallelujah, it doesn't matter how messed up you are, there is a miracle waiting for you on the other side. There is a miracle waiting for the other side. God can use you exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ever imagine, think or ask, through his great power that works within you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, don't carry a demon, carry Jesus. Don't carry your bondage, carry Jesus. Carry the gospel of Jesus. Carry the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You remember the woman who came? Are you with me still? Is this okay? You remember the woman who came to Jesus in the well of Jacob? In John 4, when you read the fourth chapter of John, the Bible says Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. Why? Because God wanted to actually meet with this woman. She came with a bucket. She came in the noon, because there's a bucket there, is there? There's a bucket there? Yeah. She came in the noon with a bucket. You know why? Nobody goes to the well to draw water in the noon. She didn't want anybody to see her. She didn't want to speak to anybody, because she was that messed up. She came with a bucket, and she sees somebody sitting there, and the Lord begins to speak to her. And the Lord says, only if you knew the water that I give you, it would spring up within you into a well of life. I'm not trying to take away anything from you. Now she got very defensive when the Lord began to speak to her. She said, Lord, you mean, I don't know who you are, but you don't even have a bucket to draw water from the well. You know, when people have taken from you all the time, even when Jesus asks you something, you feel it is for him to take away something from your life. She had five husbands. People are always taking something from her. But let me tell you, the Lord, every time he tries to ask you to give up something, to lay aside your bucket, you know why? It is to get something better into you. Are you with me? The water that I give you will satisfy you. It will be a fountain of water inside of you. You've had relationships. You've had men in your life. You want popularity. You were the most popular girl in town, maybe. Every guy wanted you. You had 10,000 likes on the Facebook for that photo that you put. People are following you on Twitter. Sex, you want? You've had it? Relationships? Yeah. With all kinds of people. But woman, the water that I give you, you're messed up. But I love you. I've been waiting here for you. I wanted to go through Samaria just for you. It's not to take your bucket, but to actually give you a fountain of living water inside. I want to make sure that you are satisfied inside. Are you with me? You read that entire chapter of John 4. This messed up lady, finally, she lay aside her bucket. She realized, it is you, the Christ. There is a miracle for you. You might have had a demonic problem, a relationship problem, a problem struggling with maybe significance or whatever, popularity or whatever. I mean, just all those things don't satisfy you. You're still empty, still thirsty. The Lord said, I am the Christ. I came for you. I was waiting for you. She went back and told everybody about Jesus. And everybody rushed to meet Jesus. This evening, your frailty, your humanity, your weakness is not a barrier for the Lord. He is waiting for you. There is a miracle for you at the well. There is a miracle for you in your mud. Are you with me? In the place where you feel your flesh is strong, there's a miracle for you. Only Jesus can satisfy you. Come to Him. Close your eyes. Let's pray together.